Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How y'all doing?
Fine.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate that. Let's see. How was your week?
Good.
No complaints. No boos. Thumbs up. That's good. Okay. Well, we're going to start today with 204. And let's stand, please. 204. Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, the opportunity to be here today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being with those who had a little scuffle here this morning, Lord, and everything's fine. Thank you for it. Thanks for the group folks that showed up today, Lord, to hear a little bit more of your word. Thank you for the good Sunday school hour we have, Lord, a lot of discussion in my class especially, Lord. Thank you for the great, awesome God that you are, Lord, that anything that we need or want, we ask for you, Lord, and we know you'll take care of it. It may not be what we want, Lord, but it'll be what you want for us. Thank you, Lord, for my pastor. He's here today, along with his wife, guiding directing today, Lord. Lord, he's got a message in his heart that you put there. He's going to bring it forth today, Lord, with your power. I pray, Lord, it speaks to someone, that person, whoever it is today, they might get right with you, Lord, before they leave the building today. Thank for our nation, Lord. I know there's a lot of trouble out west. Just guide and direct there, Lord. I pray that, and I know it will be, that your will be done, Lord. But keep those safe, Lord. We don't want any death to happen, Lord, to anybody here. And I just pray, Lord, that people will wise up on what's going on. Be with us now, Lord, as we go into our worship service. Just guide and direct. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. 334, please. 334. Jesus has taken my sin. drops over us. Tonight at 6 is our evening service. Don't miss out on that. There's a membership class scheduled at 5 tonight, just before that. Going to be meeting at Wendy's on the 15th at 5:45 for fellowship and to pass out tracts if you're interested there. Personal evangelism's on the 21st. Aspire Nursing Home Bible Study. It'll be on January 23rd at 1:30. The Secret Sisters start on the 19th. Write your info down and drop it in a container on the back table. You'll need to put down your name, birthday, anniversary, favorite color. Oh, yeah. Here we go. On the 26th, names are going to be drawn. Fellowship this month. Kay's helping Patsy on the kitchen team there. Soup and sandwiches and dessert. And we're going to have a sign-up sheet in the back. Is that right? For what you want to bring? Nobody's contesting that. Okay. All right. Anyway. Pass us off the week. Our hearts and our keeping of them impact everything in life that we experience. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up more and off.
One thing, the membership class tonight will not be held unless there's someone here this morning that invited to come. The person who's going to come is not. Is there anyone?
Do you want to announce that, Dad, so we can hear it from the mic?
The membership class for tonight is going to be canceled unless someone here wants to attend it. But if not, it'll be canceled, so I think that's it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the beautiful day and the opportunity to be here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to just fellowship with different folks, Lord. A handshake, Lord, a hug, whatever, Lord. Just listen to somebody's troubles, Lord, whatever it is. Thank you for those opportunities, Lord, that we can spread a little Christian love. Be with our pastor who's about to speak and be with us, Lord, as we're going to take up an offering. Be with the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Special music got canceled, so Pastor.
I'm on already. Thank you, Lonnie. I gotta get myself turned on here. Okay.
Well, good morning, everyone. Well, this allows me a lot of extra time now to speak today, right? Because we wouldn't want you to be cheated out of anything today. Seriously, though, we ought to have a thirst for the Word of God, right? Amen. And if you're in a walk with the Lord today, hopefully that is the case. But greetings to one and all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today. It's good to be with you. Good to see a nice group of people out. Yes, young folks, you can head down at this time. Several things that I need to make known here briefly. Regarding men, I believe Denny put a flyer up on the back board that you may want to take a look at. There is an opportunity, Berean Baptist in Davenport, which, interestingly, Fruitland helped to start many years ago. Pastor Baker, who's been the only pastor of that church since the middle 1960s. Can you believe that? Yeah. He does have an associate, but They've invited us to a men's day on Saturday the 25th of this month. I'm not certain yet if I'll be able to attend, but if at all possible, I will. And so, men, if you're interested in going to that, it's from 9 to 3. There's a lunch. I mean, we'd have to go up there like at 8:15 or so to be there on time. But if you're interested, let me know. And if I can go, I will. And otherwise, if a group of you want to go, it would be great. But it has to do with evangelism in the workplace and several other topics that we'll have some workshops on, and I believe it's worth our time. So I invite you, men, to that. If you'd like to go, the information's on the bulletin board in the back. And just so that we're clear on this, the membership class then is canceled for tonight, unless there's a hand, okay? And there's not, so we'll look forward to getting that accomplished when that works out in the future here as well. The title of our message today, and again, I hope I welcomed everyone. I'm glad you're here today. And this is not a mistake if you're here. There are no mistakes in God's program. But there is a purpose, and anytime God's word is open, it will not be unbeneficial to be involved in that process at all. But the title of our message today is, what about the subject of fasting? And this is a requested message. And for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to catch up on some of the requests that I've had in the box. So far, there's not been a request for me to hit the road yet found in the box. Jeff, don't laugh about that, but I haven't opened it for a while, but it's always a little scary. So today is going to be somewhat of an informational message, but I believe, again, there is a message in this message from God's Word to each of us individually. And the idea with fasting is this, is, you know, are you in a position in your life, and am I today, to draw closer to the Lord? And this is one way that that venue can be enhanced. And I'll share some more about that as we go through this message this morning. We're going to take some time in prayer. Bob, are you doing okay? If you have any needs, you jump up and tell me. Okay. I'm sorry? Well, you may not jump up, but... Judy, I can't hear you, so... Oh, go ahead. What'd you say?
Bob said he still had 5 fingers.
Yes. But technically, he only has 4, because one's a thumb. Okay. We got to keep it straight, right? Anyway, let's share today as we gather as a church in a time of prayer. But before we do that, let's just take a few moments once again to approach the throne of grace and to let God know how much we love him today. If you do, or if you're struggling today in your walk, just open your heart to the Lord. Ask him to open your heart today as we look into his divine word, and that he would change you and help you today, help me in the situation we find ourselves in today. We know this, we're either what? We're either with the Lord or we're not. And the dangers are that if we're with him, we may be growing more distant, we want to grow. And if we are not in a relationship personally with him, that's a very dangerous status to be in today and really needs to be considered very carefully, because eternity is at stake. So with that said, let's go for a few moments of silent prayer. I'll have a short pastoral prayer. And we'll go, but greetings in the name of the Lord today. It's good to see a nice group out. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, what a wonderful privilege this is today, another day of your grace and mercy shed abundantly upon us, but also, Lord, today the gathering of the church, the gathering of the saints. Lord, we trust that all people in this room this morning are born again in Christ, but we know that that may not be the case. Only people know for sure, Lord, where they stand with you today. But we know that this purpose today has several reasons, and I can't illustrate all, but Lord, help us to understand here today. First and foremost, this is a worship service where we let you know from our heart how worthy you are and what a worthy God you are. You're worthy of all of our worship, all of our accolades. But Lord, it's also a time of introspection as we pray to your throne, again, about our situation, our salvation, and the status, Lord, of our walk with you, if we have one or if we don't. So, Lord, today I pray that there'd be edification that would take place in the church as well, that we'd be grown, that we would be challenged to be grown, and, Lord, that none of us would leave here in the same condition as we arrived. Now, Lord, we also know that we live in a broken world, and we thank you that your Son, the Lord Jesus, was sent, that a connection might be made back to you, Father God, that we would not pay eternally for the sin of our humanity, Lord, and the fact that we're part of Adam's race. So, Lord, we do ask your forgiveness today, and we thank you for your provision of forgiveness and restoration, that we can be adopted into your family as your children. And what a wonderful thing that is, and what a wonderful future we have to look forward to today. But, Lord, as I said, we live in a broken world that's very evident here in our nation and throughout the world. Lord, we think today, Lonnie mentioned this earlier, but the fires out in California. And Lord, we don't know the purposes that you have in all these things specifically. They could be for various reasons. But we know this, Lord, that these things ought to compel us to think about our eternity. Interesting enough, those fires in ways picture what is laid out in Scripture about the place of eternal punishment. Again, for sinners, Lord, that are unredeemed by you, the Savior, and it's hell. And Lord, what a terrible thing and what a terrible picture that gives us, but a warning, again, that we would not be destined for hellfire for all eternity. Lord, we understand there's been lives that have been lost in California, but on the other side of that coin, we praise you, Lord, that more have not been. But Lord, we have to lay it on the line today. Our country is in bad shape, and we know, Lord, that there is much that has gone in the opposite direction of how you would have it to go. I pray, Lord, you would change the hearts of the people. We know none of these things happen by accident. There is a reason there that you have for us. And I pray today, Lord, that it may drive us to our knees and may drive us to seek your face in all things. Now, Lord, we know, as always, there's people missing of our flock today. Some may be physically ill. Others may be spiritually ill, Lord, struggling with issues in their life. We have a community outside of our walls this morning that is needy, that needs you, Lord, and in many cases rejects you week after week. I pray today, Lord, that you just break those bonds that Satan has on people, that you'd bring them into this gathering, that you'd bring us out of our walls, and again, Lord, have contact with people and share your love with them. I pray, Lord, that you'd grow us into a deeper walk with you. And this subject this morning confronts us head on about that, Lord. And it has confronted me as I look at it and revisit it again in preparation. And about all the things that intervene in our life that stop us, that interrupt us from sweet fellowship with you. Now, Lord, again, we pray for all people today and those that are struggling in particular. And Lord, that includes me. This is a daunting task to deliver the Word of God, but yet it's a great privilege to speak 4 or 5 times a week, Lord, and share your Word, not only in preaching and teaching settings, but in the settings of life. So I pray you'd prosper that today, Lord, and I admit to you my weaknesses, my frailties. Lord, I pray you'll help me to deliver this message and that the Holy Spirit will use it in the hearts of the listeners. It's not about me, it's about you, Lord. It's not about us either specifically, but yet you are interested in all of us, and may there be an impact in our lives this day. Now, Lord, we ask all these things in the most powerful name ever. That's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, just a disclaimer, it wasn't on the board, but Proverbs 4:23 would be the verse that backs up my thought for the week this week, and it has relevance for all of us. But friends in Christ, this morning's message is in response to a request on the subject of fasting. And I do enjoy bringing these type of messages. So this is not necessarily a Spirit-led message of what was given to me, but someone led one of you to ask about this subject. Maybe you're here today or not. You don't have to reveal yourself. But the fact of the matter is, may it be used of the Holy Spirit. And let me just say this to begin with today. Many of us are planning after this time of our gathering this morning to go do what? We're going to chow down. I eat very lightly on Sunday mornings, and you know I struggle with eating. I brought that to your attention. Jeff, watch yourself again. By the way, I'm glad you're here. It brings me to mind yesterday, Jeff. Mark stopped in for a little visit when Kim and I got home. You know, I have a little penchant for oatmeal cream cookies, Little Debbie's. Somehow, every time Mark leaves the house, I go to that box, and it's empty. Food is a big thing with all of us, folks. But here's the challenge before I begin to speak on this morning. How does the food of the Word of God and a relationship and a close walk with the Lord Jesus Christ rank in your desire between physical food and spiritual food? And the hope this morning in this message is that as we look into the Word of God briefly today, it will challenge us to get in a position where we can assume and consume God's Word and a walk with Him in a personal, private, dedicated way, and we'll let the things of the world, the food of the world, and other things go for a period of time that God might intercede in our lives with the spiritual nutrition from the Word of God. So that's the focus of this morning. Obviously, there is no subject that you could give me that I could cover in a very brief period of time when it comes to the Scriptures. So we won't be able to do that today. I can't cover all the aspects of this subject this morning, but you may want to do a concise study of it in Scripture and practice and apply it personally as such. Excuse me. So what I'm saying is today, we can't cover everything in Scripture in depth about fasting, but we can get some of the highlights, how it works, and what God would have us to do. First of all, let me just say it is not wrong to fast, and it is really right for the church and individuals to proclaim a fast over critical issues. But it is voluntary and at the discretion of the individual. Okay, so this is not something that Scripture commands. There's only one place in Scripture it was commanded. It's something that Scripture offers and tells us can be profitable for us. So therefore, it's something we must consider and make the choice on. Let me just give this quick disclaimer that I know that I struggle in my life. And I'm not, again, blaming anyone for this. But I live a life of interruptions. Can any of you identify with that as well? And this little black thing that's about that tall and that wide is one of the big ones. And you know, as pastor here, you like me to carry that phone. And I have not counted, you know, precisely every day, but some days that device is asking for my attention. How about you? I find it very hard in my life because of the responsibilities that I have to get in a mode where I can fast biblically. Because it has to be a time that is set aside that you will not be able to take any interruptions. I ask that we all chill out a little bit with each other. If sometime your pastor would be fasting and in prayer, and maybe that you the same, if I would contact you and you don't respond back. By the way, that's one of my big things. If you contact me, I will be back in touch with you. I have had trouble with my phone, as I told you last week. Sometimes things don't come on that phone till the next day. Have any of you experienced that as well? Some of you have, so it's not just me. So chill out a little bit on this stuff. And I'm going to chill out with you as well. And realize maybe we need to just shut that thing off or put it aside and take time to be with God. While a phone is a great thing, it's like everything. It can be used of the Lord and it can be used of his adversary and our adversary, Satan. We need to sieve through that. But that's just a little sidebar, okay? But I find that very hard in my life because I'm afraid of all you folks. I'm really not, but I am, because as the person God's put in place of responsibility for this flock, I don't want to not be available. But sometimes we get sidetracked because of interruptions, and we have to be able to shut the door literally on everything and focus on the Word of God. Okay? Anyway, obviously, if you have a, and to clarify this, if you have a life-threatening medical condition, good sense about fasting is warranted. And we'll talk about that a little bit through this message, but Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't consume food, but he did likely consume drink, because we know in our humanity, we can only go about 3 days without water. So again, dig into these scriptural guidelines, good sense. But the key to this is, again, to engage in some activities that allow us to focus on the Lord and not on our own needs in the flesh. Okay, that's the idea of all this as well. Now, there's several things I wanted to say, and I've forgotten them now, and I'm struggling with that too. But I better just stick to my script here, right? There are 70 plus references in Scripture to fasting. And there are no specific periods that are mentioned as far as how long it should be for you. That is something you... Oh, it came back to me. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I endorse what the Scriptures say. But let me just say this. Sometimes we come down a little too hard on Reformed or Roman Catholic theology about the subject of Lent. But Lent, done in the right way, is something we should be doing. By the way, I got disqualified at the Lutheran homes one time when I taught about that in a service. We should be in the mode of Lent all the time. You know, it has to do with fasting. I think in our circles, maybe people don't practice it as they should. But it's there in Scripture, folks, absolutely. No specific period is mandated, but as I said, Jesus is recorded to have fasted 40 days and nights. Fasting is nearly always accompanied with prayer. And it is involved in deep relational situations with the Lord. By the way, everything is deep with the Lord. Nothing's not deep. It's not superficial. Everything is important. And it involves, folks, issues like sin and repentance, deep supplications, which are requests with God about issues, intercession, where we are in prayer and fasting for another situation of another person. There are many reasons, but it is always associated with humility and brokenness, and it is a period of focus with God, absent from interruptions and personal fulfillment with fleshly desires that interrupt our focus. Anyway, there's only one place in Scripture, we won't go there this morning, but in Leviticus 16:29, there was a time when God's people were told to fast by commandment of God, and that was on what we call today Yom Kippur, but it was the Day of Atonement. So God, in one situation only in the Bible, commanded it for the nation of Israel. All the other times are voluntary, and again, it is offered to people, and it is something there that is free for us to take to draw closer to the Lord. So this morning, we're going to walk through Scripture quickly. But the first point of three today, or I guess there's four actually, I won't turn the page. The fourth one's very, very brief, are some Old Testament examples of both public and private fasting. Now, my concise looking at the Scriptures say that in the New Testament, fasting was more leaning toward private things. But it is certainly not wrong for the church to do it at all. And in the Old Testament, there was both public and private. Let's look at a little of that this morning. Turn in your Bibles this morning to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. This is a good chapter to look into, but this morning we're not looking into it for the prophetic value, but we're looking into it for some insight into Daniel as he fasted. And of course, Daniel had been given a vision preceding this. And what he was doing, he was asking God, this was one of those critical times when he said, Lord, show me what all this means. It has to do with the end of time and the 70th week of Daniel. But he needed help with this to interpret exactly what he'd been shown in this vision. And so we find this, I'll skip the first two verses with your permission, but let's go to verse 3 in this, and let's digress into it and dissect it just a little bit. But here's what Daniel wrote here in verse 3 of chapter 9, book of Daniel. And I set my face unto the Lord. I think there, again, Daniel became focused intently on God and on the answers and in the things that he needed to know for a deeper relationship, a deeper revelation, and a deeper walk with God. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek, and here it is, by what? Prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now, we find in the Old Testament that this was the condition of people. By the way, prayer is always found with fasting. Sackcloth and ashes represents humility, mourning, seriousness about the situation that we're involved in. Honestly, folks, I don't think that's a wrong thing today. We may not literally take sackcloth and ashes, which is like wearing a gunny sack, if some of you don't even know what a gunny sack is, or do some of you know that. probably more accurately, it's not even like a gunny sack, but it's like what we used to get with, they used to have seed corn and different things, and it's like a cotton bag that's just a rough piece of cloth that we wear, and we sit in ashes. Again, it's a symptom, a symbolization of humility and mourning. We may not literally do that today, but this is a time when we put the interests of ourself off and put the focus on God on. In other words, that would be the day that you don't put your makeup on, ladies. Seriously, do you get what I'm saying, though? It's about you and the Lord, but it's not about you and the flesh. And so we need to find a way to get into that mode. So Daniel says he fasted, he did it in sackcloth and ashes in verse 4, and prayed unto the Lord my God, and here's another thing to glean from this, and made my confession. Confession is a part of fasting. Confession of where Daniel was at in his situation, what he was looking for, and knowing what Daniel has written and how he's presented himself, I'm certain that Daniel was confessing what also before the Lord? His sin, his deficiencies before God. Oh Lord, the great and dreadful God, there again, praise, keeping, by the way, in the King James, that word dreadful, you could insert the word awesome, that's legitimate there. Keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Daniel was what? He was praising God. That was part of his fast. And he was confessing in verse 5, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departure from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servant the prophets, which spake in the name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. You can go on through this here today. He again is repenting of what has gone on in the nation and what has gone on in the lives of God's people who have neglected the God of the Bible and his desire, again, to arrest their slide in their sinful activities. You can read through this, but there's some interesting words that are found in here. Look at verse 9. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness. In other words, God gives, though we have what?
Rebelled.
A part of fasting could also be the confession of rebellion in our lives. And folks, we all have that. We were studying at Moscow this morning about the prodigal son. And we know this, that we are all, by a certain amount of nature, rebellious to God the Father. That's a part of fasting, to bring that into line, that our rebellion is confessed and that it is no longer a divisive thing in the lives of a person. He goes all the way along here. You can read through this situation here and confesses the sin. But understand this, as he brings that, he is delivered. And you can look through this text, but look at verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, before the holy mount, for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel. You see, the thing is with fasting privately, here's Daniel was doing, God comes to you. In this case, it was the archangel Gabriel, and he revealed to Daniel the things, the deep things that God wanted conveyed to him that Daniel was seeking. I believe today it may not necessarily be an angel that visits you, but the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and he'll show you the things you're searching for. This is the point of private fasting, denying ourselves the physical things, but looking for the spiritual food in a way that puts the flesh off to the side and puts the priority of a closer walk with the Lord and the answers that we need spiritually. Folks, I can admit to you today, there are a lot of things going on in my life today that I wonder about and what I should do. And Kim, you know, we think about these things. You do too. Maybe we need to privately get alone with God and to deny ourselves some of the things of the flesh to be fed with the things of the Spirit. You can, and what he revealed there was the answer about the 70 weeks. Now look at 10 verses 1 through 3, Daniel 10, 1 through 3. We'll keep this light and fluffy today, even though it's a very important subject. Now we have a change in leadership, and we're going into the Medo-Persian Empire now. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. And again, in this case, that's another reason. If you're in mourning today, if you're struggling with grief in your life, this is one of the ways that that can be overcome. Through getting yourself set aside with the Lord in a fast, okay? In a time, again, associated with that for the answers, for the relief of that, this is one way that that can be helped to be overcome and possibly overcome. But here's what Daniel did. Verse 2, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I was seeking for answers is what he's telling us here. And here's what he did. And this is the essence of fasting. It says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. In other words, this is what you can read into this, okay, this morning. It doesn't necessarily mean that Daniel gave up all food, but he gave up what? What he calls here pleasant bread. He ate the basics. Fasting is about bringing us back to basics. And what he did, it doesn't say he didn't drink water, but notice what it says here. He did not eat meat, nor did he consume wine in his mouth. Or did he anoint himself at all or do personal things, again, to enhance his body till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled? So there's one time period that is given there. Daniel fasted for 3 whole weeks. You can read all that text as well. But understand verse 4, and in the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. And then again, he lifts up his eyes, and there's a man clothed in linen that reveals to him the things that he sought. That's the pattern of private fasting from Daniel and one of the examples in the Old Testament. Now let's go over to the book of Jonah, just a few books down the line. Again, I could preach the whole message this morning on that, but I want to give you a variety on this to consider. Now this is one of the public examples in the Old Testament. And you all remember, I assume, what happened in Nineveh. It was a backslidden nation, and God was ready to do what? He was ready to wipe them out. But he sent his servant Jonah, who rebelled. He didn't want to go there to the Ninevites because they were enemies of the Jews and so forth. He had biases within him, but he finally went. How? Kind of reluctantly, didn't he? Because we know how the story ended for Noah. I always get Noah and Jonah. I want to use the wrong. We know how it ended. Jonah's heart really never did get right. But he did yield to God and he was used. But let's see how fasting had an interaction here with the Ninevites and what took place. I steer us to Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And by the way, Jonah did it. Verse 3, he arose. First time he didn't go, he ran the opposite direction. He went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried. In other words, he preached. He compelled people to consider repenting and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now let's see what happens here. So the people of Nineveh believe God. Jonah took the message. His heart wasn't totally right, but he took the message of God and he did it. And notice what the people of Nineveh did. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king of his nobles, this is verse 7, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and change his mind or repent and turn away from this fierce anger that we perish not. Verse 10, I have to read, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. You see, they again got the concept right here. They turned to God, they looked to him to get their souls cleared of the things that were coming, the destruction that was due to them, and it changed God's mind. And God has every right to do that, by the way. He knew he would change his mind. God knows all things forwards and backwards. But the fact of the matter, do you notice here what all took place? This was a national thing. It was a public thing. And the king proclaimed it. What I'm looking for in the United States of America, folks, is a leader in our nation that will proclaim, again, through personal example, before it's called upon anyone else, that we as a nation ought to get ourselves straightened out. Notice here, the whole economy was shut down. See, this is what I'm alluding to here. He said what? Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil ways. Folks, I'm waiting to hear that. But you've heard it from this pulpit today. We can do our part in this. Now, we know that this was not a lengthy fast, but it was a public fast that was to focus people on their walk with God of the Bible after they'd heard the warning. I think it is needed today in America. Yes. We'll see what happens. But it's there. It's there for us. Now into the New Testament and some quick examples. Our time is always as fleeting. Go to Luke 4, 1 through 2. By the way, I challenge you to look some of these up. There's many in there. I told you there's over 70 references. As you consider doing this in your life, if you're led that way, there are many examples that you can look at. But there is power in this if it's done in a way that God directs and orders. Luke 4, 1 through 2. I've got one page to get turned backwards here on. If anyone would like to volunteer to be my assistant page turner, I think it would be beneficial. There we go. Luke 4, 1 through 2. This is a private example of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read it. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, by the way, we are all in the process of being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we're born again, we receive the Holy Spirit, but all of, and that is a command of God. Don't fill your belly, I'm paraphrasing here, but be filled with the Spirit. Right. Fasting is a time of spiritual fulfillment. Okay? When the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And Jesus, who was full of the Holy Spirit, why would Jesus be full? Well, the point of it is that Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Jesus has got a full tank of the Holy Ghost because he and the Holy Ghost are one and the same but different personalities. But folks, like, I'm picking on Kim a little. Jeff, you'll have to defend her. When I get into a car that Kim's driven, Kim, I'll have to get an anti-bullying advocate for you. I usually expect that tank will be like father, or like son, like mother. Kim, don't get mad. You can get some zingers on me, because there's things like that with me. Folks, I'm a sinner. Jeff will verify these things too. Yeah. But not now. We don't have time. They exist. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, but what did he do? He returned from the Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus, in his humanity, needed to fast. He needed to draw closer to God. He needed to have things revealed unto him. And here it is in verse 2. Being 40 days, he was tested of the devil. And in those days, here it is, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Jesus, in his humanity, was hungry. But the point is here, It doesn't say Jesus gave up drink. He couldn't have in his humanity. In his deity, yes. But the fact of the matter is he gave up food for 40 days. There's a period that's a private example. And so this is something, again, in fasting, it may be a partial giving up of food. It may be a temporary time of giving up liquids or maybe just drinking water versus, Brenda, you like Diet Coke? Oh, okay. I'm into the Diet Cokes once in a while. Yeah, and the length also is optional as God leads you, okay? Now, keep moving. So Jesus did it privately. A public example is found in Acts 12, 1 through 3. Acts chapter 12, 1 through 3. And this is the church. And the church is public, correct? As far as I know, these doors are open to anyone who will come into this building. The church is the people, but we can meet together as people. The only way you're going to get put out of here is if you do what? Cause trouble. If you're here to serve Satan, that isn't going to be able to be tolerated. But otherwise, it's a public place, right? Acts 12, 1 through 3. This is a church where? Antioch. The first church. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. By the way, here's another place where fasting and prayer and all that goes with it are important. When the church is under attack, persecution. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And I think I'm in the wrong chapter here. And this is where I got into trouble yesterday. Help me out, someone here this morning. Chapter 13. I told Denny this morning as we prayed. You know sometimes I struggle with this. Yesterday when I looked through this message as I finished it, I found I missed a reference because I was interrupted. Let's go to 1 and 3 of 13. Excuse me. Now there were in the church, I think this is correct, that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, and as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered, as they served to the Lord, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now remember the situation here. Paul on his first missionary journey went out with a guy named John Mark. Mark is who he's commonly called. He and Paul had what? Friction. They didn't get along. The church at Antioch was praying and fasting that Paul would get the right partner for the second missionary journey. So this is a deep spiritual issue that the church fasted about. And when they had fasted and prayed, there it is again, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So again, the answer was given to the church. Folks, we face critical issues at Fruitland. I'm not here to alarm anyone, but we ought to be alarmed. I'm not going to give you all those critical issues, but you know we do. The church is never not facing critical issues. Prayer and fasting could be a part of the church. Maybe should be a part of the church over critical issues. Because God will give the answer. See, He will give the answer. That's an example of public fasting that's found in Scripture. Now Luke 2:37. You can talk to me at the door if you have thoughts about this. But let me tell you, there's a lot in Scripture about it. Luke 2:37. Here we're talking about Anna. If you were here on our Christmas Eve service, I was led this year to speak about Anna and Simeon. And again, their desire to see God's Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was brought to the temple as a young babe shortly after birth. But look at the verse 37. This is about Anna. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple. After Anna lost her husband, she became a servant of God in the temple. She stayed close to the heart of God in his ministry point, known as the temple. But serve God, notice it here, folks, with what? Fastings and prayers, and she did it. The implication there is every day, at least in part during the day. So there gives you another potential for how long it may be or how short it may be. Maybe short in the sense of all the time during the day, but every day. Okay, so there's another place. That was another private example. And what she was seeking in this case was the Messiah. Now, according to my Wilton mathematics, this is point three. And this is really an important thing today, and we'll pretty much wrap it up because it's just a summary in point four. But we need to pay attention to what Jesus taught about fasting. Because this is the problem that I see today a lot. When I hear about people that are fasting, I shouldn't have heard about people that are fasting. It is an intensely private thing, even if it's done publicly. But what I hear is people telling me, oh, I've been on a fast. Don't tell me about that. And we'll see that from Jesus here. Do it biblically. Because what it becomes, folks, it becomes braggadocio. And what happens is, according to Jesus, it's of no value when you do that. It's a private thing. Amen. Brother Dave, let's get the scriptures right on this stuff, right? Hallelujah. So let's turn our Bibles, Matthew 6, 5 through 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, so I got to back up. Matthew 6, 5 through 6. Again, we're always hurting for time. We could do Amish church sometime. Brenda, I saw a reaction from you over that. It isn't wrong, folks. You're pushing me. I've told Kim that before. You're pushing me, trying to mold me into a certain... Oh, we need to have a business meeting too today. It's going to be very quick because it's either yes or no. And I'll tell you the subject later. Here it is, Matthew 6, 5 through 6, and then 16 through 18. Jesus says this. Of course, you know, Matthew 6 is the Lord's Prayer. But and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. Hypocrites is another word for actors. Are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be, here's the key, seen of men. They're not doing this for the Lord and for their furtherance of a closer walk with God. They're doing it to show people who they are. Amen. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's the thing, folks. If you're braggadocio about this, you're going out telling all about it, that's all you're getting out of it. You won't get the depths of fasting and prayer and the things we've talked about today. So here's what Jesus says in verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, wasn't it just a few months ago I preached a thing about Christians coming out of the closet? If you don't, I'm not advocating what the world is. I'm saying we need to be proactive. But on this subject, we go into the closet. You remember what I said, if you can't get me sometime, there could be many reasons, but maybe it's because I'm having time with the Lord. Go into thy closet, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee. Look at the examples we looked at here this morning. Now over to 16 through 18. Moreover, Jesus said, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. You can just imagine the Pharisees. Pious. Showing, oh, we're undergoing a fast to receive revelation from God. Get off of it. A sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, once again, that's all you're going to get out of it. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thine face. Okay? In other words, when he talks about anointing your head, put yourself under the authority of God. That's how it'll happen, folks. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now over to Luke 18, 10 through 14. And we're into high gear now. Luke 18, 10 through 14. Here again, a parable that Jesus gave about the Pharisees and the publican. Pharisees being the muckety-mucks on the right-hand side of the scale, the legalists of Israel. And the publicans were who? The crooked tax collectors. The Pharisees thought they were all right. But you know what? By the way, what the publicans did, the tax people, very similar to the United States, they were told by the Roman government to take a certain amount from all people. But they were told to take all you can for yourself above and beyond that. Sadly. And yet we've got a guy here that's a tax collector that came clean. And he said, have mercy on me, Lord. Let's read the text. Let it speak for itself. This is, Luke 18, 10 through 14. Here's Jesus' parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican, tax man. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, in other words, I'm so much better, are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Well, what about the Pharisees? They're extortioners too, weren't they? In a lot of ways. In other words, they see everyone else's sin, but think they're fine. And notice what the old Pharisee's doing here in 12. I fast twice a week. See how spiritual I am? And I give tithes of all that I possess. What this Pharisee example is that Jesus gives here, they had it all right on the outside. But what Jesus said about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said, you're like whited sepulchres. You're tombs that are made to look good. And there's nothing that's good about a tomb. Verse 13, and the publican, the tax man, standing afar off. He wasn't bold about this because he was a what? He was a sinner. He would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus says, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased or made low, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Jesus said it right there. Fasting's got to be for the right reasons and done properly. Hallelujah, amen. It should not be mentioned or braggadocio in any way, or its value is lost. Sometime if you got a rainy day, read Isaiah chapter 58. It's a good chapter to read regarding fasting and intimate fellowship with the Lord. Point four, and this is the summary, and we're done with 1 minute to spare. Prayer and fasting, clothed with humility regarding sin, repentance, deep supplication, intercession, brokenness, and other relational situations before the Lord, is appropriate as you are led and burdened. It is scriptural, and it is at your disposal. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. 576. What a more appropriate hymn. Again, this has been picked months before this service. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. We're needy sheep, folks. Maybe we need to be involved. Whatever your situation dictates in some of this personal time with the Lord. I think for me, it's dictated and warranted. But also today, where do you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ? I can never take a chance that I would come here and not mention the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news that Christ died for sinners. And those who will receive him and call upon his name, acknowledging their sin, will be delivered by Jesus Christ. That is open to you today. Today is a good day to get set straight with God. Let's sing the first stanza. You come forward with me. I'll help you. There's others that will too. But most importantly, it's the Lord that will help you. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. The Good Shepherd is looking for his sheep today that he loves dearly. Before we pray, a quick stand-up business meeting. I believe Kim needs some feeding at a conference. Oh, I had to pick on you again today. Kim and I are planning to go to a conference up at Faith in February. Moscow is going to pay the fees, which are $300 for it. Would Fruitland be interested by a motion today to compensate us for three nights in an Airbnb at $240? Kim and I will take care of the gas. Is there a motion from the floor? Thank you, Lonnie. Is there a second? Kathy? Okay, very good. If our secretary could jot that down. All those in favor of that signify by saying aye. Those opposed, same sign. Thank you so much. Motion carries. That is congregational government in action. Have a blessed day in the Lord. I look forward to meeting you at the door today. It's been a while. Huh? Oh, we need to pray. How about that? Denny, would you close in prayer, please?